My name is Alexandros Chapravelos. I'm here to present you Revolver, an automated approach to the detection of evasive-based power. This is a joint work with Marco Kova from University of Birmingham and with Jan Sositasvili, Christopher Krugel, and Giovanni Vigna from UC Santa Barbara. So this work is about drive-by downloads, so let's explain a little bit what a drive-by download is. We're looking into web-based exploits that target browsers and their plugins. These are attacks that are heavily obfuscated and usually based on JavaScript. I've seen only rarely a few Java applets that were purely based in Java that were doing drive-by downloads. Drive-by downloads are still a big issue. In fact, Google's Safe Browsing project gave 232 million warnings in the first week of August 2013. And this means that bad websites are not in an obscure side of corner of the web. They're actually there, and users are getting redirected to them. So we need to find all the ways we can to protect them. And there are tens of thousands of malicious URLs discovered daily. So this is still a big issue. Moreover, we have seen in 2013 a record of 0 days in Java, and there have been 29 days since the last Java 0 day. To deal with this problem, we usually go with honey clients. These are basically instrumented browsers that will look into the website in such a detail so that they can distinguish benign websites from malicious, and they look for specific stuff that will determine the maliciousness. I'll go ahead and give you a small example of what a drive-by looks like. This is a real-world example that we found online. And what it does here, it basically has a few strings. It does a few regular expressions to remove junk strings from them. And it's building a shellcode at the end. So it concatenates all these strings together at the end. And at the last variable, we have a shellcode. If we're executing this code in an instrumented browser, then it's very easy for us to say that at the end of the execution of the script, we have a variable in JavaScript that contains binary code that if the attacker manages to change to control the program counter and point it to this buffer, it will actually hijack the execution flow of the browser. So this is an attack that a honey client can easily detect. And what we have seen as an evolution from these attacks is this. And we have found this again in the wild. We didn't create this by ourselves. We find this in the wild. I'm going to fade out the identical code from the previous attack, which that part was completely identical with the attack I described. And what we see here is that they injected a try-catch block. And what they're trying to do, basically, is that they're trying to understand if this code is executing in an instrumented browser. Because an instrumented browser usually is not the real browser. It's not an Internet Explorer. So what it does is usually it will try to load the ActiveX object, but since it's not a real instance of Internet Explorer, it will say, yes, I loaded it. Let's continue executing stuff so I get more malicious stuff. And the name doesn't exist. This ActiveX object is not real. But in the expected behavior here is to throw an exception. But since the instrumented browser allows everything to be loaded, it doesn't throw the exception. So it doesn't execute the code underneath. So we cannot determine that the last variable is going to have shellcode in the end. So this is a very hard sample to detect if you're using this approach in ActiveX object loading. So for this reason, we built this system that we call Revolver. And the basic thing that it does is that it correlates all the malicious JavaScript files that we have seen in the past with similarities so that we can do more stuff with them. So we're building all these similarities with the attacks that we have seen in the past, but still this is not enough to just know that these scripts are similar with each other. We go one step further, and we basically automatically classify the similarities. What we're trying to do here is we are trying to explain what the change actually did to the script. And we have four different categories. We have infections, evasions, evolutions, and data dependencies. And I'm going to go through them in detail in a little bit. Another important property of the system that we build is that we need to have real-time results. We need to be able to compute all the similarities at real-time. as we are processing the URLs and we're seeing if something is malicious or not, we want to be able to say, like, hey, this is not malicious, but I have seen this attack in the past. And I want to correlate these two things together and understand if this evolution that happened is actually an evasion attempt or something else. So this is the architecture overview of the whole system. I'm going to explain it a little bit here, and then I'm going to explain each part of it in much more detail in the next slides. So Revolver's input is based on an oracle, which is a honey client. It can be any honey client that can provide to Revolver JavaScript with a label if it's malicious or benign. So Revolver takes the JavaScript, it builds up the abstract syntax trees, builds up the similarities, creates similarity pairs, and then classifies them. So let's see how these all steps are done. First of all, the oracle. The oracle is the Revolver's input, and it can be any analysis systems that can provide to Revolver the JavaScript and the classification. In our experiments, we used WebOWET. WebOWET is a public platform for the analysis of web-based threats that we are running in at UC Santa Barbara. It has a public interface, and you can go to it and submit any suspicious URLs that you think are malicious. And we will analyze it for you and tell you our report. Every submission that you are submitting from now on WebOWET is being analyzed in the background from Revolver, and we're computing all the similarities for every submission that we see. So the basic blocks of Revolver is JavaScript, and this is how we are interpreting JavaScript to compute similarities. From JavaScript, from the source code, we're building the abstract syntax tree. So we're abstracting it more, the heavy obfuscated JavaScript, we're abstracting it into a representation that removes, for example, variable names. And we need to abstract the code as much as we can so that we can perform more accurate similarities. But we're not actually using the tree to perform similarities. We are reducing this even more into node sequences. So we break the structure of the tree and create these sequences of node types that are basically integers that representing the node type of the tree. So we basically have a sequence of if statements, conditions, variable definitions, and such. But we want something even more to describe this every script. We want to have a sequence summary. And I'm going to tell you why we need this, but for now, this is a statistical summary of the node type occurrences, which means that we are counting basically how many if statements we have, how many while loops we have, how many for loops, how many conditions. So how do we perform similarities? The first step is a deduplication. If we see identical node sequences, this is very easy. We have exactly the same script. We just know that this is identical scripts. The next step is harder. We need to figure out a way to not compare everything with everything, because we have millions of scripts and we don't want to have this comparison perform these comparisons for every single script. So what we do is that we base this on approximate nearest neighbors and on sequence summaries. Intuitively, similar scripts will have similar summaries, which means I cannot have this script, two scripts that are similar, but they do not have the same amount of if statements and the same amount of while loops. I mean, I don't expect it to be identical, but I expect the summary to be close enough. So what we do is that we build an 88-dimensional Euclidean space and map every single summary to this space, and then we do a k-nearest neighbor search. We pick up the scripts that are more likely to be similar with the script that we're looking for similarities, and then we perform the full node sequence similarities. Another interesting point is that we're having directional similarities. What we're trying to do basically is that we're trying to match the malicious code into something else. So if we have a huge script and we have a small malicious script and we're trying to match the malicious to the big script, we will say that we have a 100% match if we find the whole malicious script in the benign one. So to perform this, we have done also a few optimizations. When we see multiple small scripts, we're combining them back into one big script. And this is because we don't want the attackers to break down their code into small segments and evade Revolver in this way. We also have a repeated pattern detection. This is really important because sometimes it happens that we have a repetitive code segments in the AST. And what this means is that the AST gets dominated from functionality that is not that important because it's repeated all over the place. A very good example of this is obfuscated code that is using an array of integers. Unfortunately, this is getting every single integer in the array is getting represented in the abstract syntax tree. So we need to remove this information so that we actually match on the code segment that matters. Another thing is that we want the similarity not to be fragmented. So if we have a script that is matching another script, but every single node type is at a different offset and nothing is continuous, this is not an actual similarity. So we care about having a similarity that is continuous on the other script so that we actually understand that it has the same functionality. So how do we do the classification now, and what's exactly the categories? So injection is a script that becomes malicious when we add something to a benign script. In a very abstract way, this is a representation of the outer box is a representation of the script that we are examining right now, and it's malicious, that's why it's red. And inside, we see some similarity, which is the green part. So we find out that we have seen in the past this green JavaScript code, which is benign, and we added something, the black box at the end, and it became malicious. And this is clearly something that the maliciousness comes from the black box, since we have seen this in the past. The other category, and one of the most important categories, is evasions. Evasions are scripts that become benign with control flow changes. So we see something that in the past was malicious, and that's the inner red box. And by adding a black box with control flow changes, we're changing the classification of the script from malicious to benign. That's a really interesting case. That's something that we're trying to detect, and that's the main goal of Revolver. Next, we have data dependency. These are scripts that they're identical, but we are seeing different classification. This is not intuitive in the beginning, but unfortunately, on the web, we have multiple scripts that are using the same obfuscation methods, and they're not always malicious. Some websites are using obfuscation to just hide their code, and unfortunately, this is also the same exact methods are used also by the attackers to hide their exploits. And last, we have evolution. We have it's interesting to track the malicious to malicious evolution changes and see how basically malicious scripts evolve. We have deployed Revolver on WebAuet for a few months, and we have used this to evaluate Revolver. We have examined more than 6 million web pages, out of which 265,000 were malicious. In total, we examined more than 20 million benign scripts, which are 705,000 unique benign abstract syntax trees, and 186,000 malicious scripts, out of which 5,701 were unique malicious abstract syntax trees. This is the classification that Revolver got out of this experiment. Basically, we have the amount of similar scripts in the second column, which is how many pairs we found fitting into this category. And then we have another column, the third column, which is grouping these pairs based on the unique malicious AST. And we see that we have seen almost 7,000 JavaScript injections, and there are 701 malicious ASTs that are responsible for it. We see almost over 100,000 data dependencies, and we have only 475 malicious ASTs, and this is really interesting because this is a huge number, so it means that we see a lot of obfuscation in the wild. And one of the interesting things that I found out from this experiment is that jQuery used to getting deployed with a Packer obfuscation technique back in a few years ago, and it's still out there. And it's exactly the same obfuscation that attackers use to obfuscate their code. On the evasion category, we have 4,174 similar script pairs, which are matched to 155 unique malicious ASTs that are evasive. And I'm going to show you a few examples of this in the next few slides. And we had general evolutions, which were 2,490, corresponding to 273 malicious ASDs. So this is evasions that we found either while. This is the first one, and this is really interesting. The first part of the script is the malicious component, and the second one is the evolved one that we found in the wild. The first one is doing some stuff, and among other things, it's doing a regular expression replace on one of the string variables that they have. The evasion one now, what it does is that it gets a function pointer to eval on one of the variables, and it has these curly brackets in the middle. And that's really weird. I've never seen this before. What the curly brackets do is that they create a new variable scope. And there was a bug in the engine that we were using. And apparently, this was popping out the previous variable, Henry A, from the variable scope. So when they were doing this eval on the next line, and they were using Henry A inside eval, NVA was not found in the variable scope. It was throwing an exception, the eval was not complete, the script was not executed correctly. But if you load this on another vulnerable browser, real browser, this will execute perfectly. Again, looking at this code, it's really hard to understand that this is an evasion because there's nothing wrong with the code. It just has different behavior on the Honey client. These ones, both of them are PDF evasions, so they are JavaScript that is running inside the PDF engine. The first one is specific to Adobe's JavaScript specification. As we see, there's again some string with evil code, and then we get a function pointer to eval, and we are executing the evil code on the next line. On the evasion part now, though, what they do is that they're using the special object this. This is a specific object only for Adobe JavaScript specification. It doesn't exist in the browser. It exists only in the PDF engine JavaScript. And it's in a different way to get a function pointer to eval. And by doing this, they're getting a function pointer to eval, and they're executing their code again. But in our case, we did not implement this correctly, and because we didn't comply completely with the PDF specification, so we were not giving a correct function pointer, so this was not actually executing correctly. The next example is actually very interesting because we found multiple instances of it over time. What we see here is that they're using, again, a special object called APP that is, again, tied to the PDF specification, and they're calling some functionality over there. They're triggering some functionality just to see that it exists there. And then they're executing their code. And what this means, basically, is that they want to see that if we have this functionality implemented, then do the malicious stuff. And what I'm going to show you now is that how the attackers react to our detection. So we found this previous last script with multiple instances. And whenever Revolver was detecting it, we were patching it. So we were implementing the functionality that they were triggering in order not to evade us. And a few days later, we will find another instance with another functionality triggered. And we will go again in our Honey client, change it, and deploy it again. And a few days again, the same thing happened all over the time. So we see that the attackers care about this, and they're looking and changing their code all the time to be evasive. Of course, Revolver doesn't come without limitations. We're counting everything on similarities, and if we don't see any similarities, we will not detect something. This can happen if we have rewritten 0 days from scratch with new obfuscation techniques and all components being completely rewritten. We will miss all of them just because we need to have some similarity in order to correlate the two scripts. Of course, if we see the same attack, the same exploit, in a different way, we will be able maybe to correlate it. And the next thing is that if we ever see metamorphic scripts in the future, that will be really hard for Revolver to handle at this point, because every single instance of the script will be different. So we will see, we will not be able to correlate the differences. On the other hand, though, at this moment, monitoring the malicious ASDs, we see a steady stream of increase in the new malicious ASDs that we see. So if they ever introduce metamorphic scripts and our honey clients detect it, then we will see a spike in the malicious ASTs on Revolver immediately. Another thing is that they can serve the evasion before anything else. This is problematic because if the first thing that they serve is the actual evasions and nothing else, no obfuscation, completely plain, then we cannot match it to anything else. This is something that they just found out. But we need to argue that if they put it like this in plain text, then people can easily create signatures for it because it's static completely. Or they're revealing something that is not that easy to find. Because we see that evasions sometimes are really difficult to find. Even by observing the code, in some cases, I couldn't see that there is an evasion in there. And finally, we still need to analyze the evasion to understand what's the exact difference that they found and what's the exact difference that they're based on their decision on not to execute the malicious code. And then we need to patch the Honey client manually. I'm really happy to announce that we have built a web interface for Revolver. You can go to revolver.cs.ucsb.edu and examine JavaScript similarities from WebAuthn submissions. The registration will go through a vetting process. All EDU addresses, of course, will be automatically activated. And every security researcher that puts real credentials, I will accept it. But we're trying to keep it a little bit close so that we are not basically giving out all the similarities that we have from WebAuthn to everybody. This is an actual iframe that you see right now over there from a live WebAuthn Revolver evasion. And as you can see, there's one script that has multiple red links with previously seen malicious scripts. And if you go to the website, you will be able to see also the source code sort by AST and see other URLs that this AST was found. And please go and play with it and use it. So to conclude, Revolver is a system that does large-scale similarities for drive-by downloads. And it's a system that is built to automatically detect evasive behavior. And we have built a public interface for every other security researcher to use it. Thank you.
You mentioned that this difficult problem that if the malware is a zero day and you use those packing tools to obfuscate it, it's very difficult for you to detect it. Do you have any ideas or suggestions on how to potentially detect such zero day malware?
Sometimes the Honey clients will detect a zero day no matter what, because if you manage to see the shellcode, if the shellcode is revealed in a variable, for example, we will detect a zero day either way. This is just in case they have a very, very new way to exploit stuff, and we are missing both on the Honey client and on Revolver. Then it's a problematic case. I mean, we need to look into it more. But it's really hard to create all genuine attack from scratch every single time that they want to do something.
I see. Thanks.
Thank you.